What is happening, and what is happenarian, some could say, some should say and would say, here on Mean Age Daydream. I am Brian McWilliams, and today I am joined by two people I've grown quite fond of over the years here. I've been on their show a few different times in various formats. Now, of course, they're known as the Happenarian Show. I think it was called something different in an earlier iteration, though. But anyway, it is Shane and Nico from the Happenarians. Welcome to Mean Age Daydream, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And yeah, it used to be called What's Happening, and then we changed it to the Happenarian Show. You know, we got to keep changing the name, whatever.
Don't I know it? We were just talking about that before the show started. Yeah, but, you know, Electric Liberty Land through to Mean Age Daydream now. And it's somewhere, you know, I've been meaning to have you guys on for a while, and I'm glad I've just given up trying to remember on my own. So I just tell people, like, just remind me. So it's good you reminded me. And the timing was good because we have a lot of different things to talk about, including parenting. You know, you guys, obviously, how old is your kid? You guys have a kid together, which is great. How old is your kid now?
He is 1.5 now.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. So he's just rounded into form. You can tell if you like him or not. If you call him out and start again. Well, how are you guys doing it? I mean, are you, do you have him in daycare? Like, you know, my wife and I, our kids both in preschool, you know, we have a state-run school we are going to send them to. I will have to deprogram them, but it's a little bit too cost prohibitive for us to do anything else. So, you know, tell me a little bit about what you guys, what you have going on, what you're doing with the kid, and how you like being parents.
Well, so I stay home, so we're not planning on doing daycare as long as we can prevent that.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, I'm pretty anti-daycare, just because I feel like I need to be seeing what's going on, unless maybe it's like a homeschool co-op. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like a pod situation set up there where you could,
That's kind of our plan. Like, we were thinking that if we're going to go the homeschool route, he should be around other kids too. So maybe like a homeschool co-op would be something that we could do.
Yeah. You can avoid that awkward, like the South Park episode where, you know, the one girl shows up and just starts, you know, making out with everybody because she's been isolated, doesn't know how to act. Yeah. You want to avoid that if you can.
Yeah.
And this would be a boy though. So, you know, he would be arrested immediately for some sort of sexual misconduct. Gotta double down. I mean, that is the idea. I mean, you know, it's funny. I have two different buddies who their wives make more money vastly than they would. You know, it's like, which is one of the reasons I don't really buy into the wage gap thing anymore. My wife currently makes more than I do, thank God. And these guys both stay home. They're stay-at-home dads. Works well. Oh shit, my internet's getting funky. Okay, hopefully that fixes itself. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah,
still coming through. Okay, great.
Little glitchy, but we can still hear you.
Okay, good. We'll power through then. But, you know, they both stay at home. And, you know, my wife and I were talking about it, and that did come up. And I was like, you know what? I could do that. You know, we could do the homeschooling thing and just stay home if you made enough money. Unfortunately, she's not quite there yet. You know, in Los Angeles, it's still so exponentially expensive that this is not an option. But, yeah, I mean, it would be nice to do a little bit of that. And, you know, it kind of goes to one of the topics to talk about today. I remember, you know, I had sent you guys a story about the school district, which to achieve an equity and equality of outcome, right, they have been basically not giving other students that are, let's say, more traditionally recognized with scholarly excellence their due. But before we get to that, because it involves Asian American students, I wanted to ask you guys to explain for the audience, if they don't know what HAPA stands for, can you explain it to them? Because if you're just listening, both Shane and Nico are, I believe, both half Asian heritage, right? Because that's the HAPA. Yep. So explain that a little bit. And then, because I don't know if everybody out there knows about this. I don't know how many, you know, everybody's got their black friend, but nobody wants to admit to having an Asian friend, let alone a half Asian friend. So, you know, tell the people what that is real quick.
Well, I mean, I guess we're used to be a rare breed, but since a lot of the military people, at least in my case, my dad was military and went to Korea and then found a lovely Korean woman, and then pop, here I am. So basically HAPA is just half Asian and half white.
It's and a Hawaiian word.
Yeah, it's usually a Hawaiian word, and but it can also mean half Asian, half black. There's plenty of those.
Okay.
Yeah, like a Tiger Woods, for example. He would be considered a Hapa, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the interesting thing is, so we're both half Asian, and so then our son is second generation half Asian, so he's still a Hapa, technically. Yeah.
Okay, it's like a quapa or something like that. You know, you just keep dissecting it like half and then quarters and then...
So if you're a quapa, then that would be if, like, one of us married a white person and then had a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, so Tim Pool, I believe, would be considered a quapa, yeah.
Oh, interesting. We should start tweeting at him to get on the show. Let's have us on, you quapa bastard.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so getting into some of these topics here. So, you know, I do encourage everybody to check out the Hopitarians. Really fun show, and love what you guys are doing. And, you know, as I said, one of the topics that I had sent your way, and then you had suggested some back to me, which was very helpful because I was out of town. As you saw, my voice is a little scratchy because I have a little bit of a cold given to me by a friend, not my child for once, at a retreat in the woods where we were just, you know, in a cabin for 4 days, just breathing in each other's sickness. But one of the stories I'd sent you guys was, as I said, the school district, and this is out in Fairfax County, which is in, I believe, Virginia. And if you don't know a lot of what's going on in schools, of course, there is a big push for equity. There's a big push for critical race theory, but this takes it a step farther. And what happened in this story is that this school district had hired a consultancy firm, paid them almost $500,000. I think it was something like $455,000 to come in, give them recommendations, give them a program to try to achieve more equity. Now, inevitably, right, and this guy even says it, he says it out loud, straight on. Inevitably, what ends up happening is that you're faced with a choice wherein to achieve, you know, equity, equality of outcome that these people are looking for, you have to limit what other people can achieve, right? Because not everybody, as you and I know, are born equal. There's not, you know, genetics are a thing, nurturing children a certain way, parenting, all these different things come to the equation. And this man literally recommended that they quite, you know, factually hamper other people's achievements, not give them the awards. And that's what happened in this story. And this school district predominantly has, you know, Asian American students in it. So the National Award for Merit, scholarly award for, you know, scoring high, good grades, etc., was not given to Asian Americans because they were trying to limit the, I guess, disparate outcomes that can be possible. So tell me your take on this. And also, I'm just curious to hear, you know, is this something that you guys think about now as parents? Do you shake your heads and go, you know, what the hell, what the fuck does academia have against us? And is it something where you look to the future and you go, you know, this is something that's highly concerning?
Well, I think it's funny that a majority Asian American school, they're doing well, it seems like, and they're getting all these awards are quote unquote handed out. But then they're like, nah, I think we need to start handing it out to the non Asian Americans who maybe aren't doing as well. I mean, what do you expect? Asian Americans apparently are doing so well. I mean, there was that one, I think it was Harvard or something, where there was some Asian discrepancies or something to do with the Asians. And I don't know. It was just the whole thing.
Yeah, they intentionally were not admitting Asians into the program because they'd just been outscoring everybody, and they said, "Well, we can't let these people in anymore. We have to let in people that are doing worse, but you know, to even out our numbers, our checkbox numbers."
Right. Yeah, and so like, white people are obviously the number one group that you can make fun of, especially straight white males. You can make fun of them however many times, whatever you want to call them. That's whatever. Now it seems that the Asian Americans are now the next group to where, okay.
Yeah, Asians are white now.
Yeah, pretty much.
So now we're just full white people, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I guess as parents then, like she was saying earlier about how as much as we can possibly not have it happen, like have our child go into the government schools and to have them be, I guess, like like you were saying, like deprogrammed, you know, when they come back, like, what did you learn today? Oh, let me tell you how they were wrong, what the code, you know? So as much as we can possibly not have that happen, you know, like our plan is to homeschool them and to have maybe a co-op of some kind. But again, that's just the plan. I mean, whether it's going to happen or not, like, I really hope it does. I hope and pray it happens. But sometimes, like, you know, like with the financial and all that, sometimes can be tough. And so I understand why some parents can't do that. Mm-hmm. I do think about that stuff a lot.
I almost wonder if, when you look at what's happening in the school systems, when you look at what's happening in education and how the people going through the standard processes are, in fact, I mean, they're being screwed over. They're going through the system. They're achieving within the boundaries laid out for them by the state schools, and yet being denied their place, you know, their path for success, being knocked down, not getting these awards. I do wonder if actually, you know, if it's something where preaching to the Asian American community, be like, look, you're going, or just the Asian community in general, you're going to get screwed going your traditional route. Like, they have it out for you. Try something different. Like, I wonder if avoiding the state processed way is actually a better way to get in front of the schools that you want to get to achieve without being hindered. And trying to convince people that, you know, you have to create a brand new path to succeed, because, as you said, they are now trying to block you. You know, you are now an unwelcome racial category in the equity lottery that we're playing.
Well, also, in a way, you're basically admitting that the other groups of people, not the Asians and whoever else that is doing well in schools, you're basically saying, well, I mean, you know, I'm going to get a little racist here, but like the blacks aren't doing very well in education wise, Hispanics aren't doing well. So you're basically telling everyone, well, we can't hand it to these people because they're doing so well. So we're going to wait for these groups to start doing well, because then we can start handing it to them, because we got, everybody's got a, you know, a participation trophies or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're not like based, they're not openly saying what I just said, but they're pretty much telling you, yeah, I mean, we want these other people to get the awards, but we're going to wait to see.
Yeah.
It's basically like, what do they call that? The bigotry of low expectations.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think that there is a lot to be said for that in across everything. I mean, if you look to what they're doing, and I mentioned this in another show, I can't remember what school district it was in. I think it was in New York State somewhere, but they had, after the George Floyd protests, basically said black students cannot be reprimanded for being tardy, for missing homework assignments. They can retake tests. They couldn't fail them. They couldn't be punished in, you know, there are various ways for like various actions they could have taken in school. And they just said, if you're black, you get away with whatever it is because of the hard times that they've had. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, how is this supposed to help anybody? If you've got a category that's supposedly, you know, having a difficult time anyway, you're now removing all structure. And we know structure is very important in development for children and in achieving life goals. Structure is very key. Mm-hmm. To remove all structure, to remove all penalty for your actions, to remove all necessary discipline or incentive to do your work, how is this going to be a progressive measure that's actually going to help anybody?
Well, I mean, like an example that I can think of where they kind of show just how screwed up the American education system is season 4 of The Wire. That whole season is just showing there's one scene where one of the main characters is like, well, we have all these like nice equipment, all these nice books, whatever. It's like, yeah, but we want to keep them with these other ones because they're used to it. And, you know, it's just right. like school is like school to them is like, I don't know, number 9 on the most important things. Like, are you a good basketball player? Well, that's what you should focus on. Are you a good such and such? That's what you don't focus on, that nerd shit. Like, come on, really?
Yeah. Well, this is a good transitory topic. Nerds, because there are some fucking nerds out there that hate J.K. Rowling so much they are taking to the bookbinding. They are literally removing the name J.K. Rowling from books and rebinding them into new books with a new covers that have no name J.K. Rowling on them. Specifically, let's see, I'll scroll down this story to find if I can find this person's website. Here we go. Maybe I'll even open it up so we can scroll through her website together and see the prices here. But yeah, these people have gotten so up in arms about J.K. Rowling, where to take this action, like, you're telling me you can't, and charging $1,600 for it, by the way. $1,600 wow. For the entire set of Harry Potter
Brian,
books.
Brian, it's a lot of work to remove her name. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And meantime, someone's going to, I guarantee some asshole's going to pay for this. And oh, yeah. They're removing the name. But at the end of the day, are you really achieving anything? Aren't you, in fact, drawing more attention to the fact that she wrote these books? I mean, aren't you, every time you open the book, aren't you going to be thinking about the fact every time you open it, close it, because it doesn't have the shit on it?
Well, I mean, how much more attention does that need? I mean, everybody pretty much on the planet Earth knows that J.K. Rowling wrote the Harry Potter series. Every single person knows that. So if you're yeah. like, well, I already know. It's already implanted in my brain. Even if you've never written or if you've never read a single word in those books, you know who wrote them. That's one of those books where every single person, I don't know how many times I have to say this. I've repeated myself already 10 times saying this. J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter. That's it. Yeah. You can do all you can. It's like trying to erase all these like terrible things off the internet about yourself. Like, it's like people already know about it.
Right.
Yeah. And there's like a subset of people who are super obsessed with Harry Potter, but then they're also like, you know, super woke. So they don't want to be associated with anything that she says. So I can yeah. see that those people would probably buy this, you know?
Right. Well, not only that, but they look at the worldview from Harry Potter. So they go, well, I'm a Slytherin. I'm a Gryffindor. It's like, okay, well, so it's basically like, you're a Capricorn. You're a Libra. It's like, oh, God.
Well, this whatever this nerd that rebooked bombed these is clearly a Hufflepuff. I think we'd agree on that. Right. But, yeah, it's just – it's so amazing the obsession people have with her. I mean, granted, I guess it's kind of like people's Star Wars. You know, for me coming up, I'm obviously older than you guys, but Star Wars was the biggest thing in the world for me. You know, I saw it as a kid. The Harry Potter movies have become that for all these this generation to the point where they've got Quidditch, which they renamed. I can't remember what they renamed it to, but they renamed Quidditch because they didn't want Quidditch to be associated anymore with J.K. Rowling because of her quote unquote anti-trans statements. Mm.
But like I said earlier, everyone knows where it came from. you change the names as much as you can. It's not going to change. It's not going to do anything.
Well, in the annals of history, I have to hope that Quidditch, the game, whatever they call it now, will go away and not be remembered for J.K. Rowling or for anybody. But no, exactly. She's such a cultural figure. And it's like almost, you know, it's almost like Shakespeare or even, you know, George Lucas.
Yeah.
George Lucas, you know, arguably somebody should have gone back and removed Jar Jar Binks from every movie that George Lucas made. That would have been an art project I could get behind. But to your point, you still know George Lucas, and now Jar Jar Binks' name is carved into the annals of history as the most obnoxious character ever. You can't remove him. Whatever you try to do, he's still going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, $1,600, that's a lot of money. You know, I mean, you know, they got to pay the rent somehow. So he's like, you know what? I don't want to work. I don't want to try and go out and look for a job, you know, some kind of handyman type of job or whatever. I mean, who is this, a trans person? So I guess it'd be a handy trans job or whatever. But so... $1,600, they got to pay their rent somehow.
I mean, I have to think this guy's going to sell exactly one set. For that price, I can't think he's going to sell more than one set, period. And then, you know, for all the publicity he's going to get, and that'll be that. But I can say there was another one you guys sent me, which I can get behind, which is this Argentine artist who paints inflation on banknotes. Basically, he, you know, uses his artistic talent. He puts on, I'll share the screen here with some pictures so we can look for those of you watching on YouTube. But he's also painting, oh my God, hilarious. He's painting Harry Potter figures on banknotes. What a segue. It's all coming together here, guys.
I didn't do this on purpose, by the way.
It's on purpose for, let me see here. The caption says, artist Sergio Diaz intervenes Argentine pesos with portraits of characters of the movie Harry Potter as he revalues the bills by transforming them into artwork against Argentina's ever-increasing inflation. So essentially, I guess the argument here is that the inflation for the Bills is so high that to make them worth what you would actually want them to be worth, they have to turn them into works of art. That's the only way to make them actually worth any representative value, right?
Yeah. And one day someone's going to do that for American dollars.
Hey, let's not think about that yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's like...
Are you trying to blackpill us?
Yeah, sorry.
I know. This is a white-pilled show. I mean, are you guys concerned about that, though? Like, I mean, I'll be candid in that I am. I mean, I try to stay very positive, but I am without a doubt very concerned about the monetary system, about everything going on here, about, you know, again, you think about the future a lot more as a parent and how your kid's going to exist in the world. You know, for me, it's like, where do you diversify your money? You have to stay liquid in a way because you have to have emergency funds. But have you guys looked into, you know, crypto or gold or anything like that to try to get it out there into something that you think you're confident will be around for when your kid gets older?
It's kind of hard to plan with that because I feel like, so we had a lot of stuff in crypto before, but it seems like crypto is kind of volatile. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about, you know, actual like US dollars too, but
you just pissed off all the crypto bros by saying,
yeah, I know
that.
Right, but
yeah,
also I this is just us, but like we're not very good with all the stuff that comes along with crypto.
Yeah,
we tried to learn it but it was very complicated, so maybe it's,
yeah,
just
getting all the wallets and all that.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of goes over our heads, but I mean, you know, I understand people who are, like you were saying, diversifying their portfolio and trying to branch off into other things to where instead of just having a savings account or whatever, or, you know, some shoebox with a bunch of money in it, trying to get some crypto, hopefully that grows where it, mm-hmm. it's one of those things where you're just like, man, if it was like whenever it started, when it was started at like at 5 cents or whatever, and now it's up to, I don't know where it is now, like 20,000 or something like that. I don't know. But just the fact that it's gone that high and you're just like, man, I wish I had gotten into it starting out, because man, right. I'd be a freaking crypto billionaire or whatever that song
is. Oh, of course. Yeah. But I mean, I will say crypto, it's a worrisome category, mostly because it seems that it is too easily manipulated by the bigger players and by, you know, it just kind of like, a tweet, you know, can just manipulate the market to no end. And that's my worry with, you know, with Bitcoin is all these big players, there's a limited supply, fine, but they could buy them up and then manipulate the market a little bit. However, that being said, I have to feel that there's going to be some alternative economy that does emerge, whether it's Bitcoin based, whether it's a different currency in crypto, where they work out, you know, a way to stop it from being manipulated. I just think that the inflation's gotten so high. Like Argentina is a great example. 100% that inflation went up this year. Or I think just the past year. Or since COVID. Because they did the same actions the United States did. You know, they locked things down. They inflated their currency to try to keep people, you know, paid out and you know, paying their bills while they're locked down. And people across the world now are feeling the brunt of this. I think that people, you know, the more they learn, and I know it's hard to do, you know, economics is hard for anybody to understand, really, but the more people understand about the inflationary economy and what's going on now, the more they're going to say, we have to just find a different alternative. Because, you know, I don't know how much you guys dive into the whole world banking system and how it's just such an incestuous system based upon debt. You know, the whole thing is based upon eating each other's debt. There's no way for us to really right this ship without a catastrophic collapse of society, basically the entire money supply. So what do? You know, what is that alternative economy look like? You know, it's like, and it's very daunting and it's very worrisome. That's why I was just curious to see if you guys had thought about it at all. Like, have you bought any gold? Have you gone down that road at all?
We haven't really explored that. No. So we don't know that much about the gold.
Yeah. So like if anyone in your audience wants to help us out with that, then DM us.
I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that have connections. We were actually, I was talking to a guy about, you know, actually selling gold or getting into like gold brokering as a sponsor, but he missed his chance and now I don't remember their name. So screw that guy.
Yeah. So like another point on inflation before we move on is that, like you're saying, it's affecting everyone. So I'm sure you one of the people that goes to the grocery store and buys groceries, right? I'm pretty sure you're one of those people.
I am indeed. Yeah. I don't have a house big enough to grow corn and chickens and everything else.
But it's making you kind of like, you were just saying, well, I'm, you know, corn and chicken, but it's like, man, I think we need to get some chickens because eggs are fucking expensive now.
Unbelievable.
I was going to bring that up. Like, maybe the best course of action right now is, you know, all the preppers have been saying this for years, but you need to get land because, I mean, land is a form of currency.
Yeah.
Animals, and learn how to grow things.
Yeah. Got to learn to hunt. Got to learn to skin a deer or something like that. You got to start getting, you know, into the nitty gritty of shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad idea to learn it. You look at what happens, even if it's not the, you know, the monetary system, just look at what could happen with like the power grid. Like, look at, you know, people that are in England and the, you know, in broader Europe. Hey, it's got no gas. Oh, my fucking internet tonight is just shit. I apologize, guys. I don't know why it keeps
talking about the grid.
Yeah, right. My internet grid clearly being hacked by the FBI. But no, but you know, the fact that the grid can go out at any point in time, you know, that these issues do exist, where just having basic skills, knowledge of how to farm, how to cook, how to, you know, get your way through without having to rely on somebody else to provide all of the necessities, definitely a valuable skill, without a doubt. And it's kind of funny, and this is something I wanted to mention too. I don't know if you guys saw Greta Thunberg getting quote unquote arrested. Do you see it just was starting to trend right before
I saw a video of that just before we recorded. Where's it like?
I'll like share it
with a couple of. Okay.
Yeah, she's protesting some oil. I'm not sure exactly what part of town it is, but
or
what
this, yeah.
part of the country. But it's, you know, somewhere in Europe, she's protesting some oil pipeline or oil, whatever the fuck. So here's the video of her. And again, what they showed you was a picture of her being carried away by these cops in all black SWAT outfits with their helmets on, looking very intimidating. And Greta's being carried away. Her legs are in the air because she had to be carried away because she was fighting so hard. But here's the actual fucking story. Here's them giggling and laughing as they're setting up this staged bullshit. Greta's giggling. There's a bunch of cops standing around doing nothing. It's okay. It's got to be in Germany then. There you go. The Polizei are now holding her. No, she's clearly being in high duress here. Taking the publicity shots. There's got to be 20 cops around her. There's no rush. There's nobody else there. By the way, there's no other protesters there. It's just her. And then finally they walk her out, and they didn't even show in that video. They didn't even show the part where she's being picked up. So that must have been later that they took that footage. I mean, it goes to show you that these people, we depend on the grid, but this is the shit they're doing to try to take away the ability to keep our grid and keep energy coming to people. I mean, what will they stop to do? Let me ask you that. Where will they stop?
I don't know. I mean, they're trying to ban gas stoves now.
I was about to say that.
I don't know. What's next? What do you guys are banning next?
The thing that's funny about the gas stove thing is, so I've never had a gas stove, so I don't know that much about
You've never had a gas stove ever.
Yeah, so we're not going to die of cancer, apparently, because
you never use propane. And
now there's a bunch of there's all these articles coming out now saying, like, if you have a gas stove, then you're going to die of cancer. Or
I thought it was like, if you have a gas stove, you must be a white supremacist, because we haven't heard that one before.
That's coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's like after people started getting heart attacks, all those articles started coming out. Like, here's how, you know, heart attacks are just normal when they happen in young people. Nothing to worry about. Same thing. Like, you got cancer. You get cancer from gas stoves. Don't you guys know this? Yeah. To your point, it's clearly, you know, and this has been a long time goal. Like, you know, this whole climate movement, I was actually just listening to a bit of information about this thing called the Iron Mountain Report. Have you guys ever heard of this? So the Iron Mountain Report was written by, I think, a group of 12 or 15 people in a think tank that came together, and it was commissioned by back in the 60s by like a general or maybe a secretary of defense. The whole goal of the paper they wrote, this report, was to issue what government should do to secure its own longevity and suppress citizens And they specifically said, we're not going to have any moral quandaries in this. This is purely recommendations on what you could do and should do to establish government as, you know, a longstanding boot on people's necks without any, you know, humanitarian worry. And one of the things that they highlighted in this report back in the 60s was that climate was something that should be used to keep the population terrified and at the whims of the authoritarians because of what you're seeing now. You can ban people's ability to cook and, you know, get gas and keep their family warm and all these other things. So this is like a long time coming that you're now seeing play out in real life.
So it's that whole, you will have nothing and be happy.
Legitimately. Thing. Yeah. I mean, legitimately.
Wow.
I mean, think about, and I know we'll wrap up in about 9 minutes. I know you guys have a heart out. And of course I have my children exhausted me, but, but yeah, I mean, you're seeing all these things kind of come to fruition, the war on fossil fuels, the war on your gas stoves, the war on your cars, being able to get around. I mean, these are all tied into limiting your ability to live your life without government aid and government assistance. Because pretty soon the government's going to be the only people that can afford to provide you power, you know, because fossil fuels are so cheap and plentiful. Getting a grid based upon renewables will take a massive amount of government oversight. And that's the goal. You know, that's the end game.
Well, it'd also be really expensive to just switch over to another energy source.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I mean, I understand if you want to go from, if you want to, you know, like have oil, but also have other energy sources. Like it's good to have multiple energy sources, but well, if this one's not available, I can just go to this one to help, power my home or whatever. But just to completely eliminate one I don't understand, because there's people here in America, for example, where they rely on oil and gas. That's where the economy comes from. If you just completely eliminate that, well, then that town's just be like, I guess we might as well try to find somewhere else to live, because this town's pretty much going to become a ghost town, because nobody's going to want to live here anymore.
Yeah. Unless they can somehow figure out a way to make it a solar mine. I don't know. That's not a thing, but, you know, coal mines, solar mine, who knows? Tunnel to the center of the earth. Utilize the magma heat. You can keep, you know what I'm saying.
And another thing too, is that talking about with the climate, is that how we had the lockdowns with the COVID or with the COVAC or whatever. I don't want to try, cause I don't want to get
right.
Your
YouTube
banned or whatever. I already screwed it up. That. Sorry.
it's too late. No, it's been too late for fucking years now.
Yeah. But anyway, like, you know, we had all that. So then they're saying the next thing, or at least down the road, they're saying, well, climate lockdowns. No, well, you can't go outside because it's too damn hot out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, Prince Charles, now King Charles, had said that there had to be a war on climate, essentially treating it as though it was an actual war, which
how
to me
have a makes war with climate. Who do you fight? Who are you fighting? I mean,
that's the beauty. Yeah. Everybody look up and spit at the sun. No, legitimately,
like
that's
Sunshine,
the point. Right?
All the astronauts just go up and try and, you know, go up to the sun.
It would be pretty funny if they sent a space shuttle up and it was just pissing into space at the sun. But no, that's the point, right? You don't want a real enemy. And that was kind of the concept of this Iron Mountain paper too. It's not a tangible enemy. And that's the beauty of it, is it can be manipulated. A real enemy, you can see, you can defeat them. You can't defeat climate because you can change the playing field all the time and what the enemy is. So that is the goal. And like with Prince Charles saying, I need it like to be treated like a war. Well, in war, what can they do to you? They can force you to ration. They can take away your work, or they can make you do something else. You know, like how many different factories were repurposed to create armament? God, this fucking internet, I swear to God. But doing to create armaments, they force people to go and, you know, do labor or go to war and be active. So you could force all these different actions on people based upon this being a war on climate now.
Yeah.
So, changing topics, there's one that you guys sent me I do want to get to, especially since my internet is shitting the fucking bed. So you guys tell us about this last story, Sweden and the dancing permits. They're finally going to rescind the permits needed for dancing.
Yeah, so it's interesting because in the article it says that I'm just reading from the article. It says Sweden center right coalition government wants to cut red tape when it comes to dancing by abolishing a decade old requirement for restaurants, nightclubs, and other venues to obtain permits before they let patrons shimmy and sway. So that's so weird. You know, oh, I need to get a permit for people to dance in my nightclub. That's the whole point of a nightclub.
So what happens if they don't have a permit?
Probably shut it down, right? Come in and give them a fine or shut them down. Just how funny would that be? Your nightclub shut down for a month because it's probably like a health, like the health inspector comes, they put a grade on it, A, B, C, D, except it's a D with a big cross through it. No dancing.
Right.
No dancing.
Yeah, just go watch Footloose and see how that worked out.
Right. Well, the thing that shocked me about this, it's a decade old. I thought this was going to be, when you said the story, I thought this is going to be from, 1845, because they thought that was going to kill the cows, Sven, you don't dance like that, the cows are dead, whatever. A decade old? They put this shit into play a decade ago? Like, what the fuck are they, why? Why? Why in the first place?
Yeah, what happened in 2000, what was it?
2012?
Was it 2012 or 2013?
Yeah. So, continuing here in the article, it says the proposal made Thursday means that venues no longer would need a license to organize dances. Instead, as a general rule, they would only have to register with the police, which can be done verbally and does not cost anything.
You have to tell the police before you can dance?
Wait a minute, hold on. So applying for a permit incurs a fee of at least 700 kroner or around $67 for the establishment. As it is now, owners can lose their liquor and business licenses if police officers come by and find out that a venue did not have authorization to let patrons dance.
So crazy. How are you supposed to stop it?
You're a business owner and you have a license to sell alcohol, and you can lose that license if a police officer comes and goes, hey, is that person dancing?
Right.
I need to see that license, please.
It's like, that scene in every movie where it's like, the people are on a date and the song comes on and he's like, stands up in the middle of the restaurant, makes a grand gesture and dances with somebody. You just see the bar owner jump across the bar and just punch the guy in the face. How dare you? Don't you know? What are you doing?
Well, if they were fighting in the bar, that'd be okay. But if you start moving, tapping your foot.
Right. Prostitution legal in the back. Get dancing. No. But it's funny too. Like, you could tell a cop verbally, why do you just yell at look around, just be like, hey, we're dancing tonight. He's like, okay. Yeah, cool.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. That's just so insane. I am dying. Like Nico, you said, what inspired it? Was there some accident where people breaking ankles? Is it like dancing is the gateway drug to dry humping on the dance floor? Like the Lombada will come to Sweden. We have to stop this now.
Now I feel like I need to research this. I need to know why.
I need to know why too. Well, stay tuned. Maybe we'll do it on another episode. We'll wrap it up there, guys. We're almost at the 40-minute mark. So, tell everybody where they can find you again. Shane and Nico, guys, from the Hapitarians Show on YouTube. Are you guys only on YouTube now, or do you still have the podcast too?
Yeah, we have that, all that.
Okay.
So I know we're trying to end it, but I just want to read the last paragraph.
Oh, no, yeah, go. I got time. I just know you guys had to run, so.
Yeah. So in 2016, the Swedish parliament voted unanimously to do away with the permits, but the requirement still exists in law and is enforced. Swedish broadcaster SVT said that for the past 20 years, lawmakers from every party except the Social Democrats have favored abolishing the permits.
So the Social Democrats are the reason?
I guess. Maybe it's their equivalent, like the staunch conservative, I can't do this, or whatever the
equality,
so, something like that. They watched Footloose too many times. Like, I want to be that guy that was against the dance. That's my hero.
This is a puzzle box. I'm trying to think of any reason that a social democrat party would object to dancing and want I just am blown blown away. I'm so confused by it. Like Nico said, I feel like I have to research. I have to go down this hole now. Okay. This is going to be my morning tomorrow. Is going down this fucking Swedish rabbit hole of dancing and figure out what the fuck is going on. It's bizarre.
Yeah. So stay tuned on that.
Anyway. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Anyway, about the Hopatarian show. So yeah, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search the Hopatarians. I'm sure you can find it that way. So it's HAPATARIANS show. And you can subscribe to us on an Apple, Spotify, which if you do go on Spotify, and you can also watch our podcast over on Spotify. So Joe Rogan Experience, you better watch out. No, I'm just kidding.
take that bastard out. Take Tim Pool down too. That, what do we call him? Quatrarian?
Quapa. Yeah.
He's Quapa. The Quapatarian.
Yeah, Quapatarian. There you go.
Take that Quapatarian down.
Yeah. So, yeah, subscribe there. And also go to Odyssey and BitChute. We have channels over there. So, we have actually had a strike before.
Yeah.
So it seems to be the norm. If you're talking anything political, you're going to get a strike eventually. So.
Yep. Anything like that. Yeah. YouTube also, you know, I used a clip from the Golden Globes and they banned my, I did a show on Friday with a response to the Golden Globes, you know, starting off with all race stuff and just the video just wasn't allowed to go. So I just posted on Rumble and Odyssey and that's that. So yeah. Well, anyway, Shane, Nico, thank you guys for coming on Mean Age Daydream. Good chat with you. Finally, apologies. It took so long, but, yeah, good job guys. Keep it up. Keep that homeschooling going. And as I said, I look to you as the bright shining light to lure the Asian American community out of the schools and into the home.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. And one last thing, go Niners.
How dare you?
Screw the Niners. Go Eagles. All right, we're out of here.